Well, why don't you open up then to 2 Corinthians, on the 12th chapter. Well, Paul's thorn. I've been assimilating, meditating. Understanding started going off in me probably 5-6 months ago that left the traditional views. Whenever I enter into a subject like this that I know he wants me to analyze and establish it and teach it, the first thing I like to do is go back and find out what everybody else is saying about it. And of course, Paul's thorn has always been a controversial subject. From who gave it to him into what it is. But I have, of course, an excellent set of Greek books, of course. And mine, they have comments, what they believe the Greek means, and they'll quote 4 or 5 different translations. So because Paul wrote such a large letter with his hand, they say it was his eyes. Paul's thorn was his eyes. They were going bad. He could hardly see. So the large letter he wrote was large words. Not like he usually does, a long letter. He's like me. He gets it out and they run. Long letter. So your finest Greek, Hebrew breakdowns. This is their personal opinions. Of course, and by favorite, the second one. Many of them believe it was epilepsy. And the reason? His encounter on the road to Damascus, how he fell off, shaking on the ground. So they believe his thorn was epilepsy. And the third one? I think you'll like this one too. For some reason, somebody come up with a kind of malaria of some kind. And it always kept reoccurring and making him sick. And of course, because it was Paul's thorn that God gave to him, he's not going to heal him. You know, it's keeping him humble. See? But anyway, beginning here, the 12th chapter, how about the first verse? He said, look, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. He said, just for a moment, let me come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man, Christ, about 14 years ago, of course. This is him. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God's the one that knows. Such an one, they write like I do. Such an one got up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or not, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine. Now isn't this interesting? He says, I'm not going to glory about all that I saw in paradise. But rather, he said, this is what I'm going to glory in. It's is mine infirmities. Well, you know, there's a great move that took place about 20 years ago. Where one of the main teachings was you're supposed to blatantly give God the glory. You had cancer, and you knew that He gave it to you. You knew that He allowed it, and it was His plan, and it was working some purpose in you. So you're supposed to glorify God for it, not in it. For it. Anyway, there was a strong move. For some reason, it played out. It didn't last real long. Thank goodness. I hadn't been preaching real long, but I didn't like it. So he said, here, I will not glory anything but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, well, who wouldn't? Y'all been caught up into paradise lately? Well, no. You, any of you guys been to paradise lately? He said, I'd like to, but I'm forbear. He says, if you're going to get any glory out of me, he says, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. For that fifth verse again, he says, such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, woo, I shall be not a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, or I'm going to pass over this. I'm not going to do it. He says, and the reason I'm not is because of what you'd think. He said, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. You know, so take a good look. He says, this is me. Or that he heareth of me. Now notice this in 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there has been given to me a thorn in the flesh, tells you where he comes from, a messenger straight from the throne room of hell, a messenger from Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now notice why this thing came. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of my revelations. Now notice why this thing came. It was because of the abundance of his revelations. Now, even in Mark 4, the sower sows the word. Satan came immediately. What was he after? The what? So what do you think has changed? You want to know why he came? It's because of the abundance of his revelation. Now see, at this time, Paul was contending with the same group that he was contending with in 1 Corinthians. When men begin to divide and think of themselves more highly than they ought. And he says, look, in this condition you're in, he says, I'm afraid that someone will come preaching another Jesus and you go with him. He says, and why should I marvel at that? Satan himself has transformed himself as an angel of light. And his ministers, as ministers of light, truth. Now when he said that Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light, now tell me, he's not going to come preaching blatant darkness. He's going to come as God. that he said, because of the abundance of my revelations, this thing has come. Now, he couldn't come to him like he was coming to the rest of them. I kind of feel insulted that he came to me as an angel of light. I mean, if they didn't sing so good, I wouldn't have listened to them. Well, what did they sing? They didn't sing about darkness. And a guy like me that opens my Bible now and then wouldn't go for songs about dying and stuff. So if he transforms himself as an angel of light, he's going to come as God. So now, there's been a lot of people falling for this kind of thing. And in 1 Corinthians, when he did address these people, he said, you ought not think of yourself higher than you should. And when he finished addressing them, he put us all on an equal playing field. He said, why are you acting like this revelation that's been given to you? It's originated with you. There's only one teacher, and that's God, and you're all brethren. Boy, he gets into strong teaching, the first will be last, and the last will be first. You know all of those things. But that kind of deception wouldn't work on Paul. Since he was the one exposing it, do you think that that would make the devil happy? Well, if angels, Satan transforms himself as an angel of light, that means he comes as God. He doesn't come as himself. He picks the most vulnerable time to do it. You see, the devil knows. He knows that we're not going to have revival. He knows in the Spirit we already have it. He already knows that we're not going to leave the hospitals alone, and we're not going to leave any verse alone that says that we can have what we say. We're not going to leave it alone till we believe it. We're in for a ride. But I can tell you this. You're going to be one happy camper when you get to glory. I'm not going to leave it alone. Well, here I was. When the devil made his appearance, God was putting a new limb on my tree. What worship would do in the process of revealing the Father to you. I thought it was just about worship. No, it had a goal as an end. You don't just worshiping just to be worshiping, which we would do anyway. But things happen. There was a major key to get to know a side of the Father that I really needed to know to unlock certain revelations about him that he had been accused of doing for hundreds of years that he didn't do. You know, Noah's Ark. All of that revelation that we've taught on the early world. I needed an increase of his love in my nature to understand some of the things he had been doing that had no logic. And you've got to remember, he loved the Old Testament saints, but his fellowship with them was limited by their death nature. But it didn't mean that he didn't love them and make every provision, because he did. So breaking into that private worship, I was really vulnerable because I knew nothing about it. Samaritan woman completely changed my life when Jesus walked up to her, told her about the water he could give her, how the true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. I always understood the spirit part because we changed natures and we could finally give him the fellowship he longed for. For the last 2,000 years, 4,000. So we could actually pour adoration and love for God out of a nature just like his. He longed for it. The Old Testament saints couldn't give it to him. That's why when John wrote about it, he said, "And he seeketh such to worship him." The true worshipers, he told the Samaritan woman, will worship me in spirit and in truth, for that hour has now come. Well, what he was telling her, I'm going to die and be seated at the right hand of the Father, and this is the hour for it. You're going to receive a new nature, and he seeks people with that nature to fellowship with him as one of their own, which I am. Well, I knew about spirit. He seeketh such to worship him, but I didn't know what he meant in truth, but I do now. To worship him in spirit is to fellowship with him out of the same nature. But in truth means that also that I now can do the things that I couldn't do before. Remember when the chicken taught the duck? The duck didn't know he could fly for a long time because he was raised with chickens. One day he heard the truth and he could understand all of it. Because a duck can teach a duck. A chicken can't teach a duck. They have their own nature. It doesn't work. So the duck says, "My God, I can swim." They said, "Watch what else you can do." And he lifted off and flew. So he flew to the south and met Lord Duck, Lord of all. He says, I want to worship you, Lord Duck. I want to worship you spirit and in truth. He said, "You want to worship me in truth, boy? This is the truth. You're a new duckation." The truth is you can fly. "You want to worship me in truth, boy? Lift off and fly. I'm a new creation. You want to know the truth? I can move mountains. I can get towns saved. I can fly." Well, I broke into private worship. I got to know him like I hadn't before. It's one of the last keys that he had to put on before revival. I know that now. The devil knew he didn't have a lot of time. So Satan himself, and of course a messenger from him, his cohorts. When I was, halfway into a fast, all of a sudden, I could hear this worship and it got louder and louder until I could hear it like you. I know how rock stars can write music now. If I could write music, I could have wrote that stuff. But they sang the old ones I know. "Can't you hear the thunders rolling? Can't you hear the trumpets blow?" And boy, they had tenors. They had everything. Real bass. There's a real bassy angel in that bunch. "Can't you hear?" And they're just singing. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm so special. I can hear these guys out loud. And finally, after, you know, I was fasting and praying upstairs in our house, and I came down and I sat on the bed, and Rosalie's on the computer. They were singing that very song. "Can't you hear the trumpets sounding? Can't you hear the thunder roll?" Playing all kinds of things. I didn't hear a harp anywhere in it. I went down and sat on the edge of the bed, and they were just singing up a storm. They followed me downstairs. I said, "Rosalie, can you hear music and singing?" She says, "Where?" I said, "In the room." She says, "What do you mean?" I says, "Mean, can you hear them now?" She says, "What are they singing?" And I stopped. I said, and I gave her the exact words they were singing. She says, "No." She said, "You mean you can hear them?" I said, "Yes." She says, "If I was you, I wouldn't tell anybody." So I did everything. I laid on the drain. I mean, the conduit, the air conditioning, heating systems, if it was coming through there. And I went in the closets and closed the door, and I could hear them in there. It's everywhere I went. I could hear them in the house. I went out, and I could hear them 15, 20 feet away from the house. One time they got so loud that the boys play stuff in the garage, and a lot of times it's not the best stuff. And this time, for some reason, they were cranking it up so high that it was disturbing the neighbors, I'm sure. But it was funny to me, because this time it was a gospel song. And I'm doing, what? Just because it's a gospel song, I was going to tell them, you can't run the whole neighborhood off. And I got out there, and the garage was locked, and nobody's in the backyard. So what did I do? Danced out to church here. Said, I have my own angelic choir. And everybody, yay, yay. Told them what happened, and they got quiet. They didn't sing to me anymore. But their next scheduled event was an appearance. And then I would finish selling you the goods. Then we'd start seeing them. I'd have saw them first. Then would come the revival of sensationalism. Pretty soon, we would move to Utah. Now, I've talked to some people and they said, do you know how lucky you are to have survived that? Well, you know, the next scheduled fasting time, locked myself up, and the third night they came. This time they got so loud, that's when I started getting disoriented. It was like they were behind schedule, so they were putting the pressure on. Well, I got so disoriented that I couldn't even find my way home from Sepulpa. I really got disoriented and under pressure. They got louder and louder until it drove everything out. So, praying in tongues, you know, there's a truth in you. It just won't leave you alone. Finally, I heard him say, you got a right to try the spirits. And that's when I did. Sit down. These are the guys Paul's addressing. He says, you've reigned with kings without us, and I would to God. Us apostles seem to be put first last. One time he said, we're the scourge. In other words, the devil puts scouring powder on them and trying to rub them off of the earth. But these are the guys he was addressing. They reigned as kings. They take your money. They fill all the things that an apostle shouldn't be. Take all the things an apostle shouldn't take. But he was addressing these. You can understand why they get in the condition they get in. Anyway, my first encounter with devils was a hostile one. Very quickly, I just finished a longer fast, and he came. The presence was so strong it was hypnotic almost. And if I knew anything, I knew I was so wealthy I couldn't even spend all the money. But I also knew who it was. So I said, you're not God, and I know you're not. I get out of here. He did. God came. It was just great. Well, the devil got so infuriated then, the same thing came back. He said, I'm going to kill you. I said, if you could, I'd already be dead. He said, just get out of here, you liar. Then he come back and said, I'm going to run everybody off. He got about two rows on the front. Watch that front row. Well, he didn't spend much time then, but he took this road, this deception road. And this is the ones and the kind of operation that Paul was talking about here. So when he said, because of the abundance of my revelations has been given to me, a messenger straight from the throne room of hell, to buffet me. Said what he's saying, if you're not falling with that bunch, then he's going to come after you because you know the truth. Because of the abundance of his revelations. So if he's coming after him for that reason, he wasn't being deceived. He wasn't going with the other bunch. And he says, look, unless I get exalted like you guys are, there's been a messenger from hell that's camped on me, and the reason he is because of the abundance of revelations that I have, and I'm not going to go for that stuff. So you might as well know this. There isn't too many apostles, as you would call them, that make it. Somewhere along the line, those things happen to them. Look around. The office of a real one, he carries all the other callings in him. He's a devastating war machine. He can go from one village or one city to the other and cause a tremendous revival of all the signs and wonders, establish the church. And if there wasn't pastors trained before that, now he can stay there until a pastor's trained and an evangelist. He can train all of them to fill their offices because they all exist in him. He's a devastating war machine, and the cost of it is his whole life. Do you understand? It's his whole life. Paul said, lest I get exalted like you guys, I've been counted worthy to be stopped. He's come to stop me because that's what he does. Well, how Paul handled him is richer than a gold mine. My God, do you understand what you can find out about grace that will turn the greatest assault and power that Satan has back? When he went home, he said, I'm ready to be offered. They're not killing me. I'm ready. I fought a good fight. I ran a good race. That's all we want you to say when you're done. Hallelujah, Jesus. So if you are really an apostle, prophet, and you're full of that word, backing it up with the signs and wonders, the first ones are going to come after you. But so are the second ones. If the second ones come after you, it's because the first ones couldn't get you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tell me, are we going to have revival? Why? Because we already have. Hallelujah. Sixth verse. For though I would desire to glory, I'm not going to be a fool. For I'll say the truth, and now I forbear lest any man should think above me that which he sees me to be, and that he hears of me. This is me. And I'm no special call, a Hollywood kind of guy. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Look, there's hell. There's a thorn in the flesh. A messenger from Satan. He's come to buffet me. For this thing I sought God 3 different times that he could make him depart from me. And God was like a broken record. I'm glad he got through to him. He kept saying the same thing. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses." And boy, his conclusion, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather than do what he was doing before. I'd rather glory in, not for them, than in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." So I got a frantic phone call. "Brother Roberson, do you know you're calling?" "Nah." "And I'm glad I don't." "I'm glad I don't, but I do what I do." But I got a calling from some friends and said, "Can you come to Chicago?" And I said, "Why?" I says, "Because there's some messed up people up here." So I said, "Well, I can't really just drop a hat like that." "Well, please." And I said, Okay. "I'll go." So I flew in, they picked me up. Goodness, it was a convention of apostles and prophets. Oh, good Lord, some lowly pastors were there too. They were nothing. So they picked me up and all the apostles were sitting around the table. "Are you ready for this?" It was in a house, mansion. And they were special gold-rimmed cups we got to drink out of. And even though it was somebody's house, they gave us a menu. We could order what we want. We're great. So the friends to the apostle that lived there that called me, that here you can order what you want. Gold-rimmed cups. I was just sitting there looking at this. And so the apostles, they finally focused on me. Said, "Who are you?" I said, "Me? Oh, I have a church in Tulsa." He says, "No, we mean, who are you?" I said, "I'm a pastor." They says, "Oh, okay." Well, as time went by, attended their service that night, and they called me out. Told me, basically, I was backslid. They told me I was backslid. So the man that had the house there, and he had some authority, so he decided to change the order of the service. So when he announced to all the other apostles, because all you had to do is walk out there and just tell that you had to call him apostle first. Apostle Smith, Apostle Jones, or prophet. If you just went out there and yelled apostle, it would echo for 5 minutes in there. "What? Huh? What? What?" Honey? There was so many of them. Prophet. So he said, "You're backslid." And he didn't say too nice of things to who was with me either. And so they announced, the next day they got the apostles, said, "Would you please take tonight's service?" I said, "You better tell all the apostles first." So they did, and they said, "You're making the biggest mistake of your life." So they immediately got their connections and did a thorough check on me. You know what I turned out to be? "Oh, I'm just one of those, faith guys from Tulsa. He's nothing. Just a..." They said, "Well, nevertheless, he's still going to take the service." They said, "You are making a mistake." They said, "Nevertheless, he's still going to take it." They said, "Okay, we've tried to warn you." Boy, they all come out and sit on the front row. Now, ask me if it bothered me. I want to hear you. I've been there before. Anyway, I remember the message. My glory I give unto you, that you may know that Christ, the Father, that He loves you. Jesus said the same way He loves me. My glory, what do you, I give unto you? You could know that the Father loves you, Jesus said. The same love. He loves me. Well, you know, God want to know what that glory is, and we found out. We found out what glory He was talking about by a few illustrated examples, like the duck. Anyway, you think this shirt is bright? Boy, one of those guys even had yellow shoes. You know, I don't mean to be cruel, but He's not for this self thing. He's not for you gathering a bunch of people you're supposed to be serving to serve you. Nevertheless, about 13, 14 minutes in, the power fell. Maybe a fourth of them fell between the chairs. Close to half were healed. Testimony after testimony after testimony. And I tell you what, they did not know what to do. When the service was over, I tried to be kind and hug them. Did you ever try to open an ironing board? You grab it here and you pull and the bottom flies out. And you're trying to wrestle it off of it. There's nothing to hang on to. Man, they were so stiff it was like hugging an ironing board. I tried to pull them over to me and their eyes was real big looking down at me like this. I wasn't going to hurt them. Even though the meetings had 2 days left, they went and got on the airplanes and went home. By the time we get done with this thorn, and of course I won't write it up exactly like I'm talking, but he said, I sought God 3 times. That wasn't the same day. You're talking each time he'd face something worse than the last. He kept telling him the same thing. Look, you're going to fill the role of the real, and this thing's going to be there. So you listen to me. I can tell you where my strength lies. And that's what we're going to learn. Hallelujah. All right, with that, I've had a great time.